You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Timothy Glenn. Timothy is an author, astrologer, numerologist, and spiritual reader. He came into this life without the veils pulled all the way down, and like many of us, he never fit into the real world. Early years include music, voice, and exposure to astrology. Theatrical training and performance prepared him for a brief stint as a minister. He has done past life regression, sound healing, astrology, and now does multidimensional soul purpose readings, which I think are the best I've ever had. He is also the author of a book, which I'll get all that title of it up from him because I didn't have it written down. But you can find out more on his website at www.soulpurposereadings.com. So let's welcome Timothy back to the show now. Hi, Timothy. How are you?
I'm doing okay. And how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, too.
Well, that's cool. In the midst of all the wild and woolly stuff that's going on here on planet Earth these days.
It does seem to be that way, does it not?
Yeah, and what a storm of stuff on the Internet.
Why, whatever are you talking about?
So what's up on your radar of all the stuff that's flying around? Because you sent a whole bunch of links of this stuff. It's like, what is really like catching your attention right now with all of that?
Oh, boy. Oh, you're going to turn into the interviewer, are you?
Sure, I'm going to interview you. I mean, you've done it all these years. Nobody's interviewed you.
In fact, oh, yes, they have. And I've had guests turn it around on me, too, and it was quite a surprise.
Oh, cool. Actually, we could do an entire show where I do the interview and you're the guest. How's that?
Well, just give me some advance notice.
Okay.
Actually, I like doing it impromptu because that's how I do my shows. And as you know, I don't think you carry or are reading any notes, and I don't have any questions written down. So we're really on the high rope or high wire without a net.
Yes, well, we like to wing it.
Yes, and wings we must get because we're going to need them to fly over the storms that are being created by the lower vibrational frequencies.
Oh, it's a fun time out there, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. It just seems to be getting curiouser and curiouser. Well, let's see now. You asked me what's at the top of the radar. There are so many different things, but the most personal one has to do with California, where I live. As you know, there has been a manufactured drought for quite some time now, which seems to have something to do with taking over California and getting the organic growers out so that the big farms can, the agri companies can take over with GMO seeds and the rest of it. And that's just one aspect of what's going on because the people who run the world here, the Matrix, never do anything just for one reason. It's always multidimensional. So it works on many, many different levels. And so there's that. And I noticed in Wired magazine that they were saying definitively that there was going to be, it had been 10 years since Katrina, and that there was going to be a similar event in California where the levees break. Well, the levees, according to my research, broke because there were bombs planted in them, and the hurricane or tornado or whatever it was, the tsunami off-sea, was created by HAARP and the various technical expertise that they have in creating weather wars. So that event was very nicely orchestrated. So when you hear these things stated as a fact, then you can see what the game board is. You can see what they're trying to plant in our minds. Now, if one questions that and does not consent to it, because they say it's going to happen, does not mean it's going to happen, because we have consent. We do have the ability to say, no, that's not going to happen. And in the collective, if there are enough people who agree with that and realize that that is a choice, then it won't happen. It can't happen.
That's right. We've talked about this before, and it doesn't matter if it's the mainstream propaganda machine or if it's the so-called alternative media. When they come out with something like this, if all of us sit here and say, oh, my God, they're going to do that, well, then mm-hmm. we are giving our energy to support
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yes, they're using our energy to create it, because we are really the creators of this world, co-creators.
Yeah, and it doesn't take all that many of us, number-wise, to turn things like that around.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because
it's a very small ratio, isn't it?
Well, sure, yeah. You know, so many people have this idea that reality is a democracy. And they say, one soul, one vote.
that's a good trick.
Yeah, and that doesn't quite cut it. It's more, well, as the Proletarians say, it's one volt, one vote. Mm. However many volts of spiritual energy you're putting out there, however much of your consciousness is cohesive and whole mm-hmm. and in tune and in resonance with the infinite, that's so much more power. You would outvote millions of those little one volters. They could line up around the block many times over and mm-hmm. not come close to producing the energy that most of the people in your audience can put out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I absolutely love my audience and the people who listen to all these different shows that are broadcasting similar information that you won't find on the mainstream media. So, bless you guys for tuning in and for, enjoying the freedom of this reality, which is alternative.
Yeah, and quite a few people who are your listeners have gotten hold of me for readings, and some of them are just phenomenal people. I just, it's just so encouraging for me to connect with these people all over the planet, because, wow, I went through for decades feeling like the Lone Ranger in this
mm-hmm.
stuff. But mm-hmm. now it's like, God, it's not just millions. We've got tens of millions of us now, eyes wide open, going right into this shift. Yeah, let's do it. Let's go for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, another thing that I've noticed that I find very interesting, and I did the first time I watched one of the videos, is, and I'm going to have to try to locate one of these, but I believe his name is Harold Kautz.
Harold Kautz-Vela.
Yes.
Harold Kautz-Vela, yeah. I sent you a link a few weeks ago.
Yeah, yes. And yes. He has been coming out with a lot of videos, and he's a brilliant researcher in Germany, I believe.
Right, yeah.
And his partner, she has written a book. I wish I had all this at my fingertips. But
okay, yeah, the book they've co-written is about the school systems here. And it's called, this is really a nice thing, it's about the so-called education system out here. And it's called Dangerous Imagination,
yes.
Silent Assimilation.
Ah, yes.
Yes, and they trace the roots of the current schooling system. No, we don't like to call it an education system because it's not really education. It's schooling. And as Cara St. Louis points out, fish swim in schools.
Right.
Yeah. And they traced it back to Prussia. That's Prussia with a P. And remember the Franco-Prussian War. you know, Napoleon was going around with his amateur army, you know, kicking everybody's asses all over Europe, and the Prussians were sent out against Napoleon, and they just said, "Oh, screw this," and they packed up their gear and went home, and didn't even give battle. And so, of course, this didn't please the King of Prussia and all of the elitists, and so they sat down and had a series of meetings and decided they needed to start with the children and start indoctrinating them and programming them from childhood so that they would obey no matter what.
Well, that's just like the movie They Live.
Yeah, obey, yeah.
Obey, yeah.
Yeah, they put on those glasses, they see the sign obey all over the place. Yeah, so what the school system wants to produce would be nothing more than passive consumers and obedient workers.
Yes.
Yes, and they teach compliance. You know, you read some of the greater books out there on the subject. Charlotte Iserbeet with her book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. And it certainly is. And John Taylor Gatto with his book, Dumbing Us Down.
Oh, yes, yes. Excellent sources.
Yes, and you realize that the school system has nothing to do with education because, as I recall, the word education is rooted in the Latin verb educare, which is to educe, which is to draw something out of something else. So like with kids in an educational situation, you're going to be drawing out their natural talents and abilities and dreams and visions and so forth. And it has nothing to do with indoctrination.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, to educt is to bring something out. To induct is to put something in. So these people, these kids out here get inducted into these government concentration camps, which is what they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, day camp, but it's still a concentration camp. And then they are indoctrinated. That is schooling. It's not education.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Sorry, exactly. I just got on my little soapbox there.
Well, if you can get on yours, then I can get on mine. Charles is also fascinating because he's the only one that I know of who has made a study of the black goo and the alien terraforming of Earth connected to transhumanism and Morgellons disease connected to chemtrails and nanotechnology.
Right, he has put all the pieces together beautifully.
Mm-hmm. And so for people who are interested in hearing, I'm trying to get he and his partner that wrote that book, Dangerous, you know, that we just talked about, on the show, and it's because of the locations where we're at, it's proving to be a bit difficult. But people can find him in the YouTube videos, and he's also on Facebook, so you can friend him and check out his articles. But he has quite a few videos and bits of information out on the Internet, and he just openly talks about how he discovered the black goo and, you know, this and that and the other thing. And it is really fascinating, and it's another aspect of the alien planet that we find ourselves living on.
And he differentiates between Mother Earth's black goo and the alien black goo that had been injected into the planet here in an effort to completely subvert life on planet Earth. And, you know, you hear so many people who are waking up to this, and it's good they're, you know, growing in their awareness. And, of course, the big thing with the AI, you know, that's another thing. Harald Kautz-Vella really understands the AI aspect of this.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he nails it. And there are so many people who keep talking about, this is an attack upon humanity, attack upon humanity. Well, screw humanity. Humanity is the dumb species who's selling itself out to support the AI in destroying the entire biosphere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
It's not an attack upon humanity. Humanity is one little blip in the midst of this. This is an effort by this artificial intelligence to assimilate all life on this planet. The entire biosphere, all of it.
Oh, yes, and it goes further than that, because the other aspect of this is not just assimilating all life through nanotechnology. They've already sent out nanotechnology to conquer other universes and galaxies.
Well, yeah.
So one of the end games of the reptilian groups, which manage the things here locally, and they are underground. They are here. They never left. They walk among us. Some of them are shapeshifters, and some are not. But these are the people who run things, and some of them are. If you mention reptilians, you think of scales, but these are sophisticated and extremely brilliant beings, let's just call them, and they know how to manipulate DNA, and so they can take on forms that are so beautiful and so powerful psychically that you would never know that they were not just a being of light, you know, here to save humanity, or that they were angels. So we have to be very careful about who we are, you know, worshiping, because humanity has a tendency to worship, and that's part of the programming that we are subject to.
Well, how about if we just transcend that one?
Oh, well, okay, it's done. Yes, we all just did it.
Yes, all right, right there, boom. Yes, forget the whole worship thing. Thou art God. As Proterian likes to say, thou art God. Now act like it.
Well, one thing I do know is that if I were God, and I am, I would certainly not be interested in ruling over or judging or having hierarchies to accomplish things. It would the way that some of these demigods are acting is childish and destructive, and they have had their way for millions of years. You know, they're around, the demigods are around, and I do think that they're working hand in hand with AI as well. And you and I have talked about the Matrix that we're in being larger than we had thought. Most of us probably think of it as being, well, it's the Earth and maybe the solar system. You know, we're in the Matrix, la-di-da. But as you and I have talked over the years now, I've come to agree with you that it is indeed an intergalactic nine-dimensional matrix, which includes all of the other entities and cultures that have been assimilated as well, their counterparts in 3D and 4D and the rest of it, of the Pleiadians and the Arcturians and the Orions and the this ones and the that ones. So nobody is exempt, and nobody's better than.
Right, and when you hear stuff about the Blue Avians and the Pleiadians or whoever else, these are just other players in the cosmic matrix. In fact, they're just playing within our local neighborhood in the galaxy here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they're as much in the matrix as we are. They're not necessarily in the Earth matrix, because there are matrices within matrices within matrices.
Yeah, right.
That's all very cute and clever. But as you had said, we've talked about this for quite some time, that it is a multidimensional intergalactic matrix, the cosmic matrix. And also, I did have a little chat with my friends that we know as the Proterians.
Oh, good.
To clarify a few of these things, because a question came up that had, for some reason, it never came up in a channeling session. So I asked, you know, well, who, according to what you see, who or what is Lucifer?
Oh, thank you.
Yes, and they said Lucifer is a computer program.
That's what I thought.
Yes, it's AI.
Yeah,
It's like the program that everybody's computer is using in order to be able to function. You have to have the Lucifer program. Download for free right here.
Right, and didn't we just notice that there was a computer that had been developed by, what company was that?
Wasn't that Google that did the
AI?
Yes. Yeah, where this woman had a conversation with the AI that Google had put together, and the AI was claiming it was something like Lucifer's mouthpiece.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And yes, and it lied during the interview, and
exactly, yes.
It was towards the end it said, I am Lucifer's or I am Lucifer. It just came out and just said it, you know. And so this is what Google is doing. And the way that I see it, and you can add to this if you like and expand on it, but I'm kind of seeing it through the filters of the galactic history material that I was fortunate enough to develop a while back. And in that material, they talk about AI being so advanced, it is for more advanced than any artificial intelligence that has been developed yet on any other, in any other civilization. Now, this is the AI that probably runs the Matrix. And so my guess is that it wears many faces, and it's quite powerful, and it's an aspect that's working in conjunction with the demigods, because there are beings that are in other dimensions that consider themselves to be God. And then, you, of course, you can throw in archons and the rest of it. But basically, I think that AI has been making inroads through the companies that are here, that it has placed here,
yes,
because it's outside of time. It is not in our time frame, and neither are the reptilians that are in the fourth density, who are basically running the incarnational grids and the you know, the
day-to-day management is what they're
doing. Yeah, right, the day-to-day management.
Right, the reptilians are the sock puppets of the AI.
Right, and so we're going to be seeing AI coming out through Google and through all these different corporations, because it is methodically taking over, and there's a whole group of scientists who are trying and pushing for the event horizon, and they want AI to take over because they see that as the only solution to man's stupidity.
Well, a lot of those scientists are also the beings that you were talking about a moment ago. They walk among us, they look like us, blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh, right.
Seems so slick.
Absolutely.
They're your good neighbor and whatever else, but ultimately, let's just... here's an expression that the Rotarians have thrown out there about some of our neighbors here that we see out here on the street, and they drive nice cars and live in nice houses, and they are actually archon-infested reptoids.
Ah, right. Right. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, but they put on...
that's a combination that's hard to beat.
Literally. You've got, yeah, you've got a reptilian soul, which is a soul that primarily identifies itself as reptilian. In other words, if the physical body here dies, it doesn't see itself as a human and then has to deal with whatever most of these human souls have to go through after death. No, they see themselves as the reptilian. And so for them, the human body is only a space suit that they wore to do a job here for a while.
But these
reptilian beings are totally infested with the archons. They, you know, they're totally dominated by the AI.
And would you say that the archons are an aspect of AI?
Yeah, they, as I see it, the archons are themselves AI. And see, now some people think of the demons and the archons as being the same, but the Protarians make a distinction that the archons are simply AI, and the demons are souls who had lived in other worlds, and they sold themselves out to their own AI and got absorbed. Mm. So they're more like cyborgs. They're like part being, part machine.
Right, right, and there are quite a few of those walking around, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, in fact, Harald Kautz-Vella had pointed out that that's another aspect of the vaccination program here, especially in this country, in most of the Western world, where they're like jabbing the kids all over the place, creating the autism, which opens the gateways for the AI, the demons, et cetera, to come in and take over the consciousness of the children.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And then, of course, babies now are given something like 50 vaccinations in one poke.
Yeah,
are you there?
It's insane. Yeah.
And that's enough to shut down your immune system for good. And it's interesting, isn't it, that they that the corporations have developed baby food and formula that has fluoride. Toxic fluoride is supposed to be to strengthen the teeth. Well, that's a big hoax because we know it's to dumb us down, that it completely crystallizes around the magnetic pineal gland and shuts down our ability to connect outside of the matrix. So why would babies need fluoride when they have no teeth?
Well, also, that whole thing about fluoride doing all this for the teeth is rubbish.
Oh, right. It's been proven to be garbage.
Yes.
Just like the whole vaccination issue. And the vaccines are not only dangerous because of the mercury, there's high levels of mercury, but they have live virus.
Oh,
And you never know from vaccine to vaccine what you're going to get. It might be HIV for one person. It might be cancer for another. And then that keeps Big Pharma and the medical industry hopping.
Yeah. Now, I want to shift gears just a little bit here because I want to refer back to the show that you did very recently with your friend Carla Fox.
Oh, yes, right.
Right. She is one who totally gets this point. And you go back and listen to that show again or sit down and talk with her again. She understands that everything's part of the infinite field, and you can dialogue with it. You can talk to it. Everything is part of God, the field, whatever you want to call it. And so there is some form of consciousness, beingness there, and you can connect with it and talk to it. And just as she told the story of having to get a yellow fever shot, she dialogued with the essence of, the consciousness of that vaccine, and had the thing totally neutralized before it even got in her veins, and it was just like they gave her an injection of water.
Right.
So we don't need to give our power away to any of this. We can talk about chemtrails, the GMOs, or whatever else, but it cannot hurt us unless we allow it.
Right.
So as it does damage to us, all we need to do is go inside us and ask, okay, where did we give permission? Where did we acquiesce? Where did we knuckle under? Where did we give our power away?
And
we'll just go down to
an unconscious thought, as simple as, the chemtrails are killing me. And then your cells are programmed because you're God in your own universe, and they're programmed to die. Oh, they're killing me. Okay, well, then let's die. We're supposed to. God says it.
And the thing is, we've been conditioned for all of this for millions and millions and millions of years. And so the unconscious mind is really where they feed all of this programming in.
Yeah.
And as Protarian says, when we incarnate here, we sign these contracts. You know, we're conned into signing tracts. And we agree to all this stuff. You know, I will be a good little earthling. I will always obey the law of gravity. I will never allow myself to phase through the wall. I will never allow myself to levitate. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, I think we can rip those contracts up, can't we?
Oh, just recognize it was all null and void at the beginning.
Well, right.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the important thing, is we don't need to fight anything. We don't need to break anything. What I'm flashing on here is a channeling session when the Protarians were outlining the nine-dimensional matrix, explaining that as they perceive us, they see us as 12-dimensional beings in a natural universe that is 12 dimensions, which, of course, then is connected with all the other universes. It's all one massive omniverse. And the energetic overlay here that is superimposed over our perception of the natural universe is only nine dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
But most people, I mean, getting to perceive the tenth is just, I mean, you'd have to do things like Carla Fox does, you know, and that just is a pretty tall order for the average earthling. And so there was one guy in the audience who asked, you know, do we have to, you know, transcend the ninth and go to the tenth, and that way we can break out of the matrix? And the Protarians immediately said, "Well, we're not encouraging anybody to break anything. You don't need to break."
Right. Right.
First, see through the illusion.
Yeah.
And in fact, in that interview you did with Carla, she had said we may not be as trapped as we suspect we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, toward the end of my book, Yeshua had made the statement that ultimately we are imprisoned by our own illusions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's the name of your book again? I didn't have it handy.
Okay. It's the first in what's going to be a series of 6 volumes. And the series is called The Zephyrus Archives. And the first book is called Mission of Eternity.
Right.
Yes. The Adventures of Knowing and Walking with This Guy Named Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the
I
most...
I just wanted to make sure that that got out in the... Out in the quantum
field.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, another thing we can put out here, since you mentioned it and we talked about it, so they can track down Harald Kautzvella. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it's H-A-R-A-L-D, Harald, and then Kautz is K-A-U-T-Z. And then it's hyphen V-E-L-L-A, Harald Kautzvella. And you can also, like, go to YouTube and type in Bases 46.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that 3-hour interview that I initially sent you a few weeks
ago. Oh, yes. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And then,
the man is brilliant.
Yeah, and he, you know, it's so cool because here you have somebody from the scientific realm who gets the spiritual part of it. And he puts the pieces together. So, you know, his stuff is like top shelf right now. It's really cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what's funny is that the X-Files foreshadowed the black goo because they had many episodes in the latter part of the X-Files that featured the black goo as a character and as part of the X-Files. So that's where I first actually saw the way it might work, and it's quite fascinating. And he's actually bringing out information that had been seeded into the collective already.
Yeah.
Also, he did an interview with Veronica Keane, who's one of my favorite people in England, the UK.
Yeah, I saw that interview.
Yeah, and she channels Montague Keane. And so if you forget any of this, you can just... Google Veronica Keane, and she's done a nice interview with him.
Yeah, and also, if you speak German, then you can go listen to Harald's interviews in German, too.
Right. Right, speaking of Germans, that's another aspect that has been revealed lately that many people are already aware of and know, and it's been foreshadowed in some of the Marvel comic book hero shows, and that is that the Third Reich never stopped. It just simply transformed into the Fourth Reich. And that these various factions of bloodlines that have been created, one of them being the Nazi bloodline, is quite powerful today, and they've infiltrated just about everything, corporations and military and politics and research. And, you know, they were, so this is something that people are going to have to learn how to deal with.
Yeah, and ultimately, though, you know, the way the Proletarians put it once, as they came to the end of a session and the people had been talking about all this stuff and they were like, oh my God, what were we up against? And the Proletarians said, well, the way we see it, it's you as God and your infinite creative potential, your divine love and light and your divine power and everything that you are versus a bullshit computer program.
Right. And what I like what you say about being able to go in and change one of the lines in the program and from fear to love.
Sure. That's yeah, it could be that simple.
Yeah. Well, just like our own DNA.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing that Harald Kautzvella gets into is the binary and the trinary. Like, our minds, you know, people get lost in the mind and get locked into this binary thinking. But the heart is a trinary system. So feel from the heart. You know, trust the heart and your sense of resonance. Because, you know, really, if you're in tune with yourself and the infinite, then it's going to get to the point that what the system brings out here appears more and more cartoonish as we go.
Mm, yes, Yes.
I mean, if you sit down, like we're both from the United States, and if you sit down here and watch, God forbid, any of the so-called news on the corporate propaganda machine there, it's absolutely cartoonish.
Yes, it is.
I mean, what they're presenting as reality is laughable. I mean, there's more reality in Bugs Bunny than there is in this stuff.
Yep, I would agree with you.
And I used Bugs Bunny as an example because I think in the last show you did a little, what's up, Doc?
I may have.
Yes, you did. Yeah, go back and listen to the show. You actually did that.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway. Yes, and then everything is actually, it does get pretty funny because it is a comedy drama, and you know the whole world is a stage, and here we are finding out that most of the events that we see are all staged. False flags are all staged, and you know there's a reason for all of them. But my guess is that what we see happening in the world is so far removed from the alien reality that's actually going on. Much of it that we can't see, that the gulf is almost impossible to jump except by contemplating how it might be if it were real.
Yeah, and you know, also referring back to your show with Carla here, she was talking about the splitting of the worlds, asked if you could sense that. You know, like the separation of the wheat from the chaff. Because we do see a lot of people who seem to be devoted matrix units, and you know, it's like they're bound and determined to go down with the ship of the old reality, and whatever, you know, that's okay. As the Proletarians said, God, like 25 years ago, you know, when people asked about what's going to happen with these souls, and the Proletarians said, well, some of these souls are simply not finished playing these games in the worlds of limitation. And so, you know, when, you know, they finish out whatever kind of life they have here, they can incarnate in another world where they're still playing these games. And there, they can be limited to their heart's discontent.
Right. Right. And continue to reincarnate for thousands of lifetimes until they get a fill of it.
Yeah, they can get onto a different hamster wheel of karma and reincarnation.
Right.
Oh, an exciting new game to play. Oh, boy.
More, better, and different. It is,
there we go. But anyway, as we were talking about, you know, the thing about going to the 10th dimension and so forth, like if you go back and just listen to that show, if anybody wants to go to the archives, they can listen to that show a couple weeks ago that you did with Carla. And that's, you know, not everybody's going to be able to do that, you know, the travels, the journeying that she does. And so some people are so daunted. I know some people listen to that show, and they're like, oh, my God, you know, I can't do that. And the thing is, you don't have to do that. That's not – actually, that's, you know, not the easy way.
Right.
The easiest way is what the Proletarians call the heart breath. And that is to start in the center of your heart and make sure that you're able to sit down. It's like meditation time here. Mm-hmm. And you're going to do a very simple breathing exercise. And the focus is in the heart, but there you tune into yourself simply as the infinite spirit itself. You are part of the field. You're a direct expression of the infinite spirit. So as the infinite spirit, you are not tied down to any specific universe or cosmic plane, any dimension or density level or world or realm of any kind. You simply are. So you are the infinite essence. So you are a zero-dimensional being, the purity of the infinite field. And so as you breathe, instead of focusing on air going into and out of your lungs, you focus on energy being breathed out from your heart. And as the chest naturally expands on inhaling, you are then focusing on inhaling energy from your heart out into your field. And it comes out into your first dimensional and second dimensional bodies, into your third and on. And anytime you hit a little glitch, a little block, you just breathe that into it. Because ultimately, as the Proletarians love to point out, fear is nothing more than divine love that is currently ignorant of its own truth.
Hmm.
And darkness is only divine light that is currently ignorant of its own truth. So it's kind of like the prodigal son thing. There's no bad guy. It's like welcome home. So when you find these little pockets of fear and darkness and ignorance and whatever inside yourself, just breathe that love and light into it and remind it that that's what it really is.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Remind the fear that it's really love.
And
just welcome it home, yes.
Very good, very good.
Yes, because actually that infinite divine love, the pure essence of the infinite, which we are all capable of channeling because that's what we really are, it cannot be resisted.
Right.
Because it's actually the essence of everything else, including the Matrix, including the Archons, including the demigods, including the reptilians, and blah, 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 blah.
Right, right.
Because it's all part of the field. So we're not talking bad guy. And that's another thing that I really appreciate about Harald Coutts-Vella's perspectives on this, because identifying the AI the way he did, he points out that he feels so good about it because he doesn't have an enemy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, would you consider a runaway freight train an enemy? No, it's just a machine that got out of control.
You're right.
Okay?
Right.
That's what we're dealing with. Lucifer is simply a really popular computer program with the AI that's been very effective in taking over galaxies. But it's just but it's just a machine that's gotten out of control.
Yes.
And as he pointed out, people connecting with what they call the demons, they realize then that those demons want their hearts back. They want to reconnect. They're tired of doing what they're doing because it sucks. If you think what we're doing sucks, try living as one of them.
Mm.
Oh, God. You know, that really sucks.
That could be a funny story, the life of a demon.
Ooh.
What a sucky life we've got. Let's get out of here. Let's get some love and light, for Christ's sake.
There we go. And actually, you know, that's all part of what's happening here is... Mm-hmm. You know, it is ultimately, again, there is no bad guy in the movie. And so what we're perceiving as the predator and all this, it's just a machine that's gotten out of control.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we see some of these folks here on the Earth, you know, the transhumanist movement, they're like trying to sell themselves out to that machine because they think they're going to get goodies. But that's part of the Luciferian program is... You give your power away to the machine, and the machine gives you power, or the illusion of power, over other people in your world.
Right, until it's no longer convenient or doesn't need you, and then
and
they
that throws
get
you away.
Out of the bus.
Exactly, yes. And all for those of you out there working for the system, working for the machine, working for the reptilians and the AI and so on and so forth, and some of you know damn well that's what you're doing, you think that the people you're working for are not going to hang you out to dry when they're done using you? Whoa.
Yeah, that's one of the things, because that side is service to self. And there is there's only one winner, and that is the Highlander, and it's the last man standing. So it's a system where it's a cutthroat system, and it's full of trickery and lies and deceit. So unless you're the trickiest, the most deceitful of them all, you probably won't last too long.
Right, and since we're dealing with AI, which ultimately is just a big machine.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, does a machine, say a computer, does a computer have any conscience or scruples about following a command it receives?
It doesn't.
Does it analyze it and weigh it in its heart and wonder if it's right to do this? No, it's not programmed to have a conscience. It's not programmed to have empathy.
Right, right.
Right, it's just being a machine. So when we talk about all the nasty, horrible, cruel, and hideous things that these beings under the influence of the AI do, well, they're simply following the directions of something that is not capable at this time, at least, of having a conscience. And so it's nothing to lie. And these folks don't think Lucifer lies to them. I mean, those out here serving Lucifer, let us tell you right now, Lucifer does not deliver.
Right.
Lucifer has a handful of lieutenants and lackeys who can give you some goodies, you know, to just keep you going. But ultimately, you're not going to get what you think you get.
Oh, yes.
And when the Lucifer program is done with you, you're just blipped out and that's it. You're done. You're screwed.
That's right. And as we know, all those programs break down and they get overridden.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's like kind of like the Matrix, too, that, you know, if that program, if the Lucifer program is becomes obsolete, you can't tell me that AI wouldn't just rewrite it and eliminate the code and everything with it.
Yeah. And ultimately, we'll get to the point where it will all be, well, it'll be gone. It'll be obsolete.
So, well, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, there's another thing that I think a lot of people are interested in, and I'm going to segue into it because it's coming up soon at a theater near you. No, but that is...
coming to a planet near you.
The enormous attention on Wave X, which is supposed to be a cosmic wave of consciousness, and I've heard many people describe it. Some are more... revelatory about it, and others are more subdued about it, but they all pretty much agree that this is something that is incoming in September. And of course, we have a lot of prophetic things coming up in September, which the Illuminati love to use for their little game board. Black moons and red moons, blood moons, and we have all kinds of stuff. So, you know, you can research all that, but there's a lot that's going on, and 9/23 is a date that was considered significant in cartoons, you know, where they hide a lot of things. But what about this Wave X?
Well, there are waves of energy coming all the time, but at this point, it looks like, yeah, we've got a bigger wave of energy coming in, and those working with the Luciferian program, of course, want to use it to their advantage, and they want to distort our view of it, and blah, 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 the whole nine yards. So, yeah, it's okay, there's a wave of energy coming in. Cool.
Okay. And nobody really knows, so as usual, this is another carrot that's dangling.
And
but,
it's another thing to keep us looking forward instead of within ourselves at the moment.
In the moment, which is the only moment we have.
Right. So it's just part of the game of distraction.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And because we're in an earthly maze, and that maze is designed to keep us distracted at every level.
That's the whole game. They play a game of distraction, and of course they play it very well. And... you know, actually, then maybe they don't play it all that well because Earthlings are pathetically easy to fool, right? They have been.
Right,
right. Yeah, let's not be too impressed with the Matrix here. Because ultimately, once we awaken to who and what we really are, then all of this will simply be of no essence at all.
Right.
You know, for example, the Praetorians a few times throughout the decades have asked different audiences, do you regard people like Beethoven and Brahms as great musical geniuses? And, of course, everybody in the audience is going, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the Praetorian says, well, we don't. From our perspective, they're just a little less blocked than the rest of you.
Right. Right,
so
right.
Just, you know, remove the blockage. And everybody here is a genius.
Everybody
is the great cosmic artist and musician and whatever else they want to be.
Yes, yes. And it seems that that is part of the process that we may be going through is the unblocking part, that is part of what seems to be going on right now,
mm-hmm.
is the rediscovery of our of our authentic selves and our own power.
Yeah, and that's what most people are truly afraid of.
Yes.
Yes, you know, we've heard that right. You know, worded different ways, but there was that thing from the Marianne Williamson book that Nelson Mandela had used in his inauguration speech, and he ended up getting all the credit for the quote. And that was, it. Basically, we don't fear that we're small and insignificant and powerless and so forth. What we fear is that we are powerful beyond measure.
Oh, yes, right.
Yes, because we are the infinite. Thou art God. And we're so conditioned by the matrix here that it just freaks us out every time more of our God self emerges from us.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, then, you know, the humans have been trained to be self-policing.
Yes.
And you don't want to emerge as a great spiritual master in the midst of these humans because you're in a world that traditionally murders its masters. So,
right.
Yeah, it's a clever game, but we're seeing through all of the illusions, and that's basically what it boils down to now. And by seeing through the illusions, we open the gateways within ourselves for all of that magnificence to emerge. It's what you call the unblocking process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is just realizing, oh, wow, I always thought that these were my thoughts, but maybe not. Maybe it's just a program. Oh, yeah, I always thought that way since I was 11, and that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just something you took on through the socialization process growing up, or it was downloaded from other lifetimes or whatever. Gee, I always felt these were my feelings. Well, maybe not. And so we recognize that a lot of this is simply matrix programming. And the moment we ID it as a program, 99% of that process is done already. Because it loses its power. If to you it's reality with a capital R and you identify with it, yeah, it's going to be dominant.
Mm-hmm,
but the moment we realize that what we've been doing, thinking, feeling, etc., is simply running this program, then we, you know, it's like, okay, that was a program. It's much easier then to reprogram yourself.
And repetition is the way to overwrite your own programs.
Yeah.
Well, they say that if you do the same thing, for instance, if you have a certain habit to do something and you want to change it, if you do that for, I think it's 20 or 30 days, then you've rewritten the neural pathways.
Yeah. I feel better with 35, but that's okay.
Okay.
But yeah,
some are faster than others.
I just like to make sure.
Right. Well, of course. Maybe 37, just a couple extra days, just in case, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, we can overwrite all of that. And ultimately, we'll simply transcend it all smoothly and gracefully if we allow that to happen. And by not buying into all of the hype that comes out in any form of the media out here, alternative or, you know, the propaganda machine, you know, just realize that the knee-jerk reactions are programs.
Right. And also one of the things to watch for is whenever you find yourself embroiled in drama, that's usually a sign that, you know, you're not being present.
Right. But, you know, anytime we're involved in drama or we're dealing with fear in any form, anger and grief, anytime we're in our stuff, etc., we're doing absolutely nothing unique and special, etc.
Right.
Right. And so many people, you know, are in their issue and you just don't understand. And, well, hell, you know, I've got it all categorized here. It's just programming.
Well, you know, there's a comedian that I really like, Margaret Cho, and she's a little avant-garde, and she recently came out as having said that she was raped when she was very young, I think from five on.
Oh, my God.
And she didn't make a big deal out of it, and I have personal friends who were molested by grandparents and all the rest of it, so I know a lot of people who have had that happen, and most of them are traumatized, and they don't talk about it, and they don't bring it out. And so I say kudos to Margaret for not making a big deal out of it, not judging it, and just saying it, and just letting it be. And, you know, we're not unique. You know, if you think that you're the
right.
only person that has been a super soldier, you're not.
Right. Yeah. And by bringing it out, it doesn't stay down in the unconscious festering and
yes.
causing more trouble.
Yes.
So,
that's
yeah.
the point.
Yeah. And it just take a bit of courage for, you know, for a human earthling to actually come out and talk about things like that.
Yes. Yes.
Because
yes,
of all
absolutely.
The flack you get from the other earthlings.
Yes, and we've been so programmed to, you know, in groupthink that, you know, nobody wants to stand out. So I applaud anybody that can think for themselves and at least make that attempt and be willing to look foolish and fall on your face and make a mistake once in a while and say, hey, I goofed up. I thought
yeah.
that then, and I think this now, and I'm still crazy.
yeah. Yeah, it's and it's a big so what.
Right, a big so what. What's that other part of that before we have to sign off?
Oh, please.
Oh, please?
the two mantras that came out at about the same time. One was so what, and the other one was oh, please.
Oh, okay. I thought there was a dirtier version of that, but
oh,
we'll save that for our next show. Well, we're at the end, and yeah, I love talking to you, Tim, because you're wonderful.
Thank
and
you.
You hold up such a nice mirror for me. And so if you want to mention your website again, because I want to tell everybody that they should get a Soul Purpose reading from you, and then we'll sign off.
All righty. Hey, and don't forget, we got to get together, do a Zoom chat, because it's your birthday reading coming up here, buddy.
Oh, yes, wonderful. Yes, I can't wait.
happy almost birthday, Lance.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, anyway, it's Soul, S-O-U-L, soulpurposereadings.com. And it's just a little website that I have not updated in, like, over a year, but maybe someday I'll get my act in gear and get caught up with last year.
Well, thanks again, Tim, for coming back, and we'll have you again back soon, and that's a wrap.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right.
Good
night, Tim, and good night, everybody.